We apologise for a misprint on Radio 5 last week. Peter Fiddick's talk entitled Nelson Riddle and His Ilk should have read Nelson Riddle and His Elk. Apologies to Peter Fiddick and particularly to Nelson Riddle's elk. Incidentally, if you would like more information about the pets of famous bandleaders, then we shall be only too happy to ignore you. Welcome to Bandleader's Pets, introduced as usual by Marvin Rainwater.
It'll take a whole lot of loving just to keep my baby happy.
No relation. Yes, and this week we shall be telling you about Glenn Miller's puma, Robin. Duke Ellington's warthog, Veronica. Lionel Hampton and his aunt, Rita. And Benny Goodman's Thompson's gazelle, Arnold. But right now, here's Commander Cody and his lost planet airmen.
Beyond the river, over on that other shore,
shall we meet
and cast the anchor,
when our storm
is
over.
Let us all
join hands together,
we will be
united again,
and we'll all be back
together.
When we reach
our journey's end,
won't you tell me once again? Because I forget so soon how the early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Shall we meet beyond the river where the surges cease to roll? Where there will be no sorrow.
Shall we meet
beyond the river,
over on that other shore?
Shall we meet
and cast the anchor
when our storm is over.
Let us all
join hands together.
We will be united again,
and we'll all be back together.
Thank you. cast the anchor.
And cast the anchor.
When our storm.
When our storm.
Commander Cody. Now on Radio 5, we've got some...
Just a minute.
What?
Studio attendant, sir. Part of BBC security.
Oh.
Shut up. Leave the talking to me, sir. That's why I wear this uniform. Nice uniform, isn't it, sir?
Yes.
Shut up! Right. Now then, have you played your sig tune?
No, not this week. I thought we didn't...
You thought? This is the BBC mush. None of your arty fairy arts programmes here. None of your Russell arties here. This is sound radio. It's part of the regulations that the sig tune must be played at the commencement of the programme in order not to frighten the listeners, thereby causing strange letters of complaint in shaky handwriting thudding onto Mr. Muggeridge's desk, God bless him, and making his life harder.
Well, a sig tune's not the
Shut up! Now, don't tell me my job, sonny boy. I've met Princess Margaret. I have shaken the hand of the Queen Mother. This hand has been placed in the palm of royalty and wriggled. Never forget I gave my life for you in the last war. Now play your sig tune. Not that one. Nor that. Look, play the right one, Tosh, or I'll slash your face with my MBE.
You don't have the MBE.
I have knelt on Her Majesty's Cyril, Lord Oldcock, averting my eyes, as is the custom, whilst graciously accepting an old copper coin with a bit of coloured ribbon on it. Now play the right sig tune or you'll have Defender of the Faith slashed across your cheekbone. That's better. Now no monkey business, I've got my eye on you.
Tricky Dicky's dead, he's vanished up the spout. They opened the gate in his waterbed and let him all pour out.
Well, the man who wrote that poem has been shot. But we have in the studio tonight his brother, Ron Higgins.
Hello.
His mother, a Mrs. Betty Higgins.
Good evening.
And a cousin of his from Belfast, whose name escapes them.
Good evening.
We've also got in the studio a round table with a cloth on it.
Good evening.
A hat stand.
Good evening.
A file-easy non-burn-em-up BBC wardrobe.
Good evening.
And a microphone.
Good evening.
In my bedroom, we've got wallpaper and matching textiles.
Good evening.
In the bathroom, we've got tiles and anti-splash carpeting.
Good evening.
In the kitchen, we've got the Savile range of comestibles and cooking utensils.
Good evening.
And in the lounge, we've got the Minister for the Arts.
Good evening.
And, Minister, I'm going to start off by asking you what you think of the bathroom.
Good evening.
Thank you. If we can turn now and face the war, Minister, we'll let you know when the van arrives to take you home.
Thank you.
Good evening. Well, now it's time to go through his wallet, and whilst we're doing that, here's this.
Hello, and welcome to another programme with a vibrant, exciting opening. And tonight, for half an hour, we're going to talk very excitedly like this.
Why is it? Why do people talk like that on these sort of programmes? This is the sort of question people who talk like me on the sort of programmes full of people who talk like this ask. Well, you'll be able to hear some more of my sort of voice on the bits that link their sorts of programmes all the time. But right now it's time to hear this sort of singing sung by the band.
I ain't got no sister.
Morning.
Morning. Smith of Fabrics.
I'm afraid I don't know him.
No, that's me, Smith of Fabrics.
Oh, I see.
I'm the minister for something. The minister for something beginning with E.
Education?
No.
Environment.
That's it. That's it.
Environment. That's it. Good.
And I'm making an inquiry into something. Something beginning with
Posing briefs.
No.
Potatoes.
No, don't think so. No, no, wouldn't be. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm making inquiries into something beginning with P. So have you got any?
Any what?
Any something beginning with P.
Well,
I spy with my little eye something beginning with P.
Pollution.
That's it. Pollution. Well done. Have you got any pollution for sale?
No, no.
I don't think so.
No, 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 wouldn't be. Of course not.
Anyway, doesn't matter. We have received from the general
public.
Yes, a large number of ka. Something. Katie.
No, no.
Well, anyway, lots of cuss.
Complaints.
Yes. A large number of complaints that your factory is producing
pollution.
Yes, good. And this pollution is ruining the
environment.
Yes, good. Absolutely. Environment. That's it. Good. So I've been asked by the Department of
Trade and Industry.
Yes, yes, to come along and complain.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it?
Complain.
Good, yes, complain. The jaw factory is putting acid into the
water supply.
Yes. And has, in fact, poisoned the entire town of
Birmingham?
No.
Broadstairs?
No.
Bellevue?
No, that's a zoo.
Billingsgate?
No, that's a fish market. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You have wiped out the entire town of
whatever.
Doesn't matter. So I've been sent here by
the police.
Yes. To put you under arrest.
Yes, well done.
Well, what do you say to that?
How
rude. Well, now, here to play a record is Riker. Cause something.
Cuda.
That's it.
Well, sweet mama, let me be a kid, she said. Mind that, but I'd like to. For my man a while, but just don't let my husband catch you there. I say, just don't let my husband catch you there. Well,
what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, please don't ask me.
me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, gonna feel fine when I'm near the girl that I love best. My heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. Oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and her love so fine. She touched my hand and what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, ooh, yeah, yeah. I'm all shook up.
Startling new theories. Introduced as usual by Morris Camp. Hello. Well, plenty of police activity after last week's programme when we suggested that the royal family were behind the great train robbery. It may only be a coincidence, but Princess Margaret has left the country. Well, let's crack straight on with our first startling new theory, which is from a Professor Biggins of the Earl's Court University. He has come up with a startling new theory that man is not descended from the apes, but is in fact descended from a Mr. Brian Ford of Seven the Poplars, Hastings. I went to see the professor to tackle him about his new theory, but they put him inside again, so I visited instead Mr. Brian Ford and asked him what he thought of the theory.
It's stupid. Stupid. To my mind, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, people keep pointing to me and saying, aha, aha, he's the father of the race. I'm not even married.
One slight point that may tend to discredit the theory is that while mankind is thought to be over 1 million years old, Mr. Brian Ford is only 19. However, I personally suspect him. Our second startling new theory this week comes from Birmingham and a Mrs. Elida Gibbs, who writes to say that so far from Alexander Graham Bell inventing the telephone, it has still not yet been invented. I rang her at her Edgbaston home.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Elida Gibbs?
Yes?
Ah, I'm phoning you about your new theory.
Oh, I'm on the radio. Am I on the radio?
Yes.
Bam, bam goes that theory then.
What about your telephone theory?
Oh, I've abandoned that. It's rubbish.
Really?
Yeah, sheer balderdash. Putrid. I wonder anybody ever listened.
Oh, thank you.
Not at all.
Rather pointless, I'm afraid. Our next port of call was Swansea, where a Mr. Jones had unearthed a new theory about the Romans.
Our so-called Roman roads were not roads at all, but were, in fact, aerodromes.
Why did they run between towns?
Because their aeroplanes were so very poor and, in fact, rarely took off.
And were these aeroplanes chariot-shaped?
They were.
With horses in front?
Most certainly.
Thank you.
They would race along these aerodromes.
Shut up.
Our last informant is a Mrs. Caldwell of Abbotsview, Nuneaton, who has sent us a startling new theory about this programme, which she claims is merely a spurious link into the Beach Boys. Well, Mrs. Caldwell, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact...
Round, round, get around, I get around,
yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
Thank you. think I got some good going for myself, but what don't you?
Radio 5 presents a new adaptation of War and Peace in 1 3-minute episode by a very fast writer. Part 1, the beginning, the middle, and the end. The story so far so good. Mireille Mathieu has been setting all Moscow ablaze with her tireless ability to crop up everywhere. The French, having fought for 2 years to get tickets for Moscow, are sickened and disheartened to find Mireille there before them. Napoleon is due to arrive for a performance of the 1812, but he's late and it's nearly 1813. In fact, he doesn't show up until 6:45, which means only one thing. From Birmingham, we present The Archers. Yes, from Birmingham, they present The Archers. Faced with such an appalling threat, Napoleon is forced to retreat. But the Russians have fired Moscow, Mireille Mathieu and the Archers. There is now no hope for European culture, and Tchaikovsky proves it by writing a tune that gets played a lot on Family Favourite. Moscow is left in ruins, Tchaikovsky is left in poverty, Castro is left in politics, Liverpool is second left outside Manchester, and Philip Jenkinson is left in the BBC archives for all the world to see. The 3-minute War and Peace there, one of the classics of modern radio. And that was requested by P. Simon, R. Nixon, J. Bakewell, R. Harty, P. P. Pasolini, N. Mailer and Q. Elizabeth. I want to turn now so that my right profile gets into camera and take a look at myself in the mirror. Still a bit of sag. Anyway, it's time now for variety on Radio 5. And this has been requested by M. Borman, M. Diane, H. R. H. Haldeman, H. R. H. Duke of Edinburgh, H. Samuel, H. Smith and Sons.
Ladies and gentlemen of Wigan, we present Joni Mitchell.
Cold and steal out of money, one eye for the people lose. Sweet fire calling, you can't deny me. Now you know what you need. Underneath the jungle gym, hollow grey fire escape thee. Looking for sweet fire. Of lady release. Come with me, I know the way. She says it's down, down, down the dark ladder. Do you wanna contact somebody first? Leave someone a letter. You can come. Crossed and padlocked corridors, spit on prayers and pleas. Watch fly up from the sweet fire, fall to lady release. Come with me, I know the way. She says it's down, down, down the dark ladder. Do you wanna contact somebody first? Does it really matter if you come now or if you come on later? Red water in the bathroom sink, fever in the scum bungle. Blue steel, steel begging, but it's in this thing. Someone's high, fried running jelly roll. Concrete concentration camp, bashing in veins for peace. Cold blue steel, sweet fire, fall to lady release. Come with me, I know the way. She says it's down. Wanna contact somebody first? I mean, what does it really matter? You're gonna come now.
Putting me on. God said no. Abe say what? God say you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, where do you want this killing done? God said, on down Highway 61. Well, Georgia Sam, he had a bloody nose. Welfare department, they wouldn't give him no clothes. They asked poor Howard, where can I go? Howard said, there's only one place I know. Sam said, tell me quick, man, I got to run. Oh, Howard just pointed with his gun and said, that way down Highway 61. Well, Mac the Finger said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. Then he said, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. Night told her first father that things weren't right. My complexion, she says, is much too white. He said, come here and step into the light. He says, you're right. Let me tell the second mother this has been done. But the second mother was with the seventh son, and they were both out on Highway 61. He was very bored, trying to create a next world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, I never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done. We'll just put some bleachers out in the sun and have it on Highway 61.
Ladies and gentlemen of Aberystwyth, nowhere near Kent, it's time for this week's edition of Pillory. Hello and welcome to another half hour of totally gratuitous and unmerited abuse against the famous, the not-so-well-known, and the up-and-coming. And tonight's star victim is all three. Yes, it's none other than the evergreen Des O'Connor. And later on, we'll be making some gratuitous jokes about Des, some personal slights about his stature, bitchy remarks about his capped teeth, and a thoroughly misleading and totally mendacious innuendo about his private life. If he stays the full course, he'll get a chance to win his case in the law courts. And remember that the jackpot for unnecessary and malicious libel can stand at £50,000. So, Des, just hang on there in the box, and we'll let you out just as soon as the lawyers get here. So, with all that money at stake later on, let's ask our first mystery guest to step into the stocks, please.
Well, the abused is a newsreader, quite a drinker, he owns a Daimler, but he's behind on the instalments. He's been described by his colleagues as a nasty, unpleasant, thoroughly evil little man, but you know him better as...
Well, if you think you know who the abused is, then write to us and we'll give you his phone number so that you can phone up and give him an earful. Incidentally, if you're shy and don't like being rude to others, then there's a chance for you to win a celebrity abuser. Someone who is rude and famous, say Clement Freud, who will go round to whoever you nominate and give them a piece of your mind in his own words. And you get a chance to win a proxy vilifier when you fill in the form in the Radio Times with rude words about the editor of the Radio Times. So, well, now it's time for our self-abuse spot, where you, the appalling listeners, get a chance to abuse yourselves in the privacy of your own revolting homes. All you need is a mirror and a recent copy of our critical fortnightly yuck, and you're all set to tear a strip of yourselves. Are you ready? Very well, then start reading from page 4. I am an appalling little creep and an upstart. Oh, what a silly and disgusting git I am. My word, how I revolt me. Yuck, I stink, and my stomach revolts at my total lack of redeeming features.
Don't forget to put a lot of emphasis into this bit.
I would rather be put into a tin of rotting vegetables and buried in a compost heap than have to spend 10 minutes in my own boring company. Yours sincerely...
Say your own name here.
P.S. I am alarmingly foul and a disgustingly unwholesome little tick. Well, with the self-abuse spot over for this week, we've just heard that our guest star has taken out an injunction against his appearance on this show. And so we'll be joining you, Des, in 1 minute in the courtroom. It does mean, however, that most of what we were going to say about him is now sub judice, which means we can only tell the press. Never mind, if you ring us at home this evening, we'll tell you anyway. Well, we're just a couple of minutes to go before our arrest. There's just time to tell you that next week on Pillory, Russell Harty will be the star victim. If you would like to be unkind, rude and unpleasant to Russell on the programme, or you would just like to watch him being abused, then write for seats to the disgusting BBC ticket unit, London W1A, Yabu AA. But right now, here's some appalling music from Snooks Eaglin.
Let me go home, whiskey. Let me walk out that door. Let me go home, whiskey. Let me walk out that door. Well, I'm feeling so fine, but I just can't take it no more. Let me go home, whiskey. Let me walk out that door. Let me go home, whiskey. Let me walk out that door. Well, I'm feeling so fine, but I just can't take it no more. Let me go home, whiskey. Let me walk out that door. Let me go home, whiskey. Let me walk out that door. Well, I'm feeling so fine, but I just can't take it no more. Let me go home, whiskey. Let me walk out that door. Let me go home, whiskey. Let me walk out that door. Well, I'm feeling so fine, but I just can't take it no more.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but get off of my blue suede shoes. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes. My car, you drank my liquor from my old fruit jar. You do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off of them shoes and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes. Rock! For the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah, blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
The Muriel and Des Bradley Comedy Writing School is open to all. Just let Muriel and Des remove your wallet in tasteful and comfortable surroundings. Established over 40 days, the Muriel and Des Bradley Comedy Writing School has produced many excellent graduates. For example, Oscar Wilde was for a time resident in a house near what is now the Muriel and Des Bradley Comedy Writing School. Graham Greene once passed close by Acacia Avenue, the home of the auntie of Muriel and Des Bradley, but turned right and went on to become only a novelist. Orwell, Huxley and War are just three of the great names from the past. Michael Aspel is yet another famous name you will probably have heard of. All of these people are now very famous indeed, aren't they? Yes, many people have profited enormously from a variety of things in their lives, not to mention the Muriel and Des Bradley Writing School. Brian Tapp is a name you probably won't have heard of. And yet, he too is definitely a graduate of the Muriel and Des Bradley Comedy Writing School. At the moment, he is working full-time on a new joke for Jimmy Tarbuck. No easy task. We asked him what it was like at the school.
Muriel and Des taught me everything I know. Without them, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Where are you today?
In Reading. I used to be able to afford to live in London.
It's tributes such as these that are making Muriel and Des Bradley rapidly bankrupt. Just write to Des enclosing a large check and he will send you Muriel to give you a free and show you how it works. Yes, the Muriel and Des Bradley Writing School, affiliated to the AA.
Long ago, a young man sits and plays his waiting game. Things are not the same, it seems, as in such tender dreams. Slowly passing sailing ships and Sunday afternoon, like people on the moon I see, are things not meant to be? Where did those golden rainbows end? Why is this song so sad? Dreaming the dreams I've dreamed, my friend. Loving the love I love to love is just a word I've heard when things are being said. Story is my poor head. lass and bits of broken glass. Where do your gold and rainbows end? Why is the song I sing so sad? Dreaming the dreams I've dreamed, my friend. Loving the love I love.
And welcome to Rising Prices, a programme in which we watch rising prices rising in price. And we've just heard that since we've been on the air, bread has gone up a shilling. Well, that's very exciting news. Bread hasn't risen at all in price since Tuesday. Any reaction from Westminster, Alistair?
Not as yet, Robin. Most MPs already bought their bread yesterday, except, of course, for the Liberals, who couldn't find any sliced.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Alistair, but we've got to go over to Brian in the Balham supermarket, where we think something is about to happen.
Well, here at Price Rise, we're just about to hear the result of the cabbage.
Mr. Manager, Madam Shopper, ladies and gentlemen, I, the returning officer for this supermarket, declare that the new price of cabbage...
Conservative.
...is now 115p a pound.
That's the cabbage safely up and by quite a large margin from the price at the by-election last week. This was predicted, but nevertheless, it's a good result for inflation. Let's get a little reaction from Westminster.
Well, I have with me a Tory MP who is naturally claiming this as a victory.
Well, of course, taking into account other price rises, wage increases, the cost of living index, the test score, the magic box in the PM's desk, and a few big lies, this does in fact represent an actual decrease in the price of cabbage.
I see, but we've just seen it go up.
Yes. 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 Yes, we have, haven't we?
Well, we've got to butt in there, Alistair, as there's news of an impending increase in beef. So over to you, Patrick, at Sotheby's.
Well, here at Sotheby's, it's very tense. We've got a very beautiful piece of filet mignon on the stand at the moment. Would serve at least three people for a first-rate meal.
Gentlemen, can I have your bids, please, for this fine piece of fillet steak? Do I hear £1,000? £1,500? £2,000? £2,500? £4,000? £4,000, £4,500, £6,000, £6,000, £6,000. Do I hear any advance on £6,000? Sold to the gentleman of the cabinet. Well, now we move on to lot 400, these three very rare spare ribs. Do I hear £3,500? £3,500.
Well, obviously there's no ceiling here today for meat. Connoisseurs are investing in it. Indeed, many people prefer to eat their Picassos and hang their beef on the wall.
Well, thank you, Patrick. Let's go right away over to our stock market correspondent in the city, Lionel. Well, here on the stock market floor, bread is still rising. Bacon has hardened during the morning, omelettes remained firm, and there's been a lot of confidence in pork. Food is still the best investment, followed by oil and gold. If you can get into gilt-edged ham, well and good. Most of us would be happy if we could take a mortgage out on a piece of chicken, and indeed the majority of us will have to settle for investing in swede or carrots or broccoli or some other vegetable with a quick turnover. The building societies are giving 6.5% per annum on pieces of fish, and there's a new annuity scheme whereby you can have shares in a turkey which will mature after 35 years when you can eat it. What about old-age pensioners, Lionel? Well, they do make a very good meal, but you have to cook them rather well. But they are still very popular with stockbrokers for the special occasion.
Thank you.
Well, before we go, there's just time to let you know that the Bank of England have a new scheme to help you pay for the price of food. They're making edible pound notes. Out of bread and pasta, they look just like pound notes. They're worth just as little in the shops, but you may find it cheaper to eat them rather than food. Remember, Barclays Bank are accepting hamburgers, and branches of Lloyd's will cash a cheque with a piece of cheese. Well, that's all for this week. A reminder that later on you can see What's My Breadline, in which Lady Isabel Barnett tries to guess what kind of jobs people used to have. And, of course, excitement, entertainment and food with Huey Green in The Pie's the Limit. So until next week, this is Delaney and Bonnie.
Love me.
waiting for a little while.
Is that it?
What?
Is that your show finished?
Yeah.
Right, we'll get out of the studio then. Come on. I've got to clean up. I've got Fluffy Freeman coming in here next. None of your rubbish. Proper gent he is. Wears a tie and everything.
Well, what about the sig tune?
All right, Mr. Cleverdick. I'll take care of that. You just shove off.
Well, what about the credits?
I'll do them. Right. That drivel was Radio 5. It was written by Eric Idle. Silly name, isn't it? It was performed by Eric Idle. It's probably made up, you know. I bet that's not his real name. You'll probably find his real name is something ordinary, like John Ravenscroft. The show was produced by Clive Burrows. I bet that's not his real name either. And he's available for any odd jobs about the house. I'm afraid you can hear more of this Radio 5 next week. Until then, I leave you in the very capable hands of the next DJ.
Thank you very much indeed, and don't forget...
Carry on, disc jockey.
Right, Radio 5 on Radio 1, or Radio 1 on Radio 5, and don't forget...